It was a cold December day in 1889 in a small shtetl, a small village in Lithuania. Rachel Riva Hassel wrapped her shawl around her shoulders and tied her babushka, her headscarf, a little tighter. The wind howled. She carried a heavy bag filled with potatoes and onions. She was on her way home from the market, for tonight was the first night of Hanukkah, and she was going to make latkes, potato pancakes. Her small frame was bent by her heavy load. She stood no taller than an 8-year-old child. A faint smile crept across her lips as she thought about the sizzling smell of those latkes filling her house.
"Finally, Hanukkah is here," she whispered to herself.
Suddenly, her smile vanished, and her eyes filled with terror. It was the sound of a galloping horse in the distance, a different hoofbeat, swifter and lighter than the slow workhorses from her village. Over the hills, she spotted the rider, a Cossack soldier in a uniform with shiny buttons, and they glistened in the midday sun. As he galloped through the Jewish market, he leaned over the side of his horse without breaking stride and scooped up a small boy wearing a long black coat and a flat cap. On his way home from Cheder, a Jewish school, the little boy flailed his arms and legs, struggling and screaming, "Help me! Help me!" as his desperate mother ran after the horse, pleading, "Stop! Stop!" She couldn't catch that rider who had stolen her little boy away. Rachel Riva put down her heavy load and walked over to comfort the hysterical mother. They both knew the boy would be taken to a non-Jewish family until he was old enough to be a soldier in the Tsar's army, where he would serve for 25 years or more. Rachel Riva had witnessed the kidnapping of little Jewish boys many times. Most never returned home. The two mothers stood silently, and then Rachel Riva picked up her bag and headed home.
"Our family has always been blessed with mazel, good luck," she murmured softly to herself. "These things only happen to others. My two sons are good runners and street smart. They would escape."
Rachel Riva tried to convince herself that her boys were safe, but on this particular day, the horse had come so close to her that she could feel the dust he kicked up in her face, and the screams and tears had pierced her heart. She began to wonder whether her boys really were safe. She arrived home just in time to peel and grate potatoes. In the evening, she and her family lit the shamus and the first candle of the menorah in the window and sang the blessings. Then her two sons and two daughters sat on the floor to play dreidel. She looked at her husband who sat by the candles, and in the soft light she thought to herself,
"What the neighbors say is true. My dear one looks more like a rabbi with his long white beard than like the tailor he is."
She was lost in thought when she heard a familiar sound in the distance. It grew closer and closer, and then it stopped. She stood up from the table and held her breath. She heard the sound of boots crunching on the snow. And then the sound stopped. There was a loud knock. At her neighbor's door. She heard another piercing scream, shuffling feet, and into the distance. The Cossack had grabbed young Yankala Bernstein and taken him away. Rachel Riva's children sat in silence, searching in their parents' eyes for comfort.
"The Cossacks won't come back," she said. "The army is full, and besides, we are blessed with more luck than most."
It was hard even for her to believe these words. As she lay awake in bed, the sounds of the latest scream etched in her memory did not disappear so quickly. Rachel Riva tossed and turned, and after a restless night, she awoke, still hearing the scream. At daybreak, she went to the market and bought a heavy piece of brown material. All afternoon, she sewed curtains for the windows and mumbled to herself,
"The curtains will keep the light in. We must light the Hanukkah candles to remind us that there is hope. Perhaps the curtains will make our house less obvious if the Cossack returns. Tonight, our light will stay inside."
That night, Rachel Riva lit the shamus and two Hanukkah candles with her family. The light stayed inside and she felt safe. The children sat down to a quick game of dreidel before dinner while she went into the kitchen to check on the latkes.
That sound! It came closer.
The sound stopped. Boots on crunchy snow.
On her door.
Rachel Riva walked to the door. She did not cower or bow her head. She breathed in the light from those candles, and it made her feel as though she stood 6 feet tall. She opened the door and looked up at that Cossack soldier, right into his eyes. His shiny buttons caught the reflection of the candles. In a firm, steady voice, she said,
"We've been expecting you for dinner. Don't just stand there. The food will get cold."
The soldier stood still. He was a young boy, about 20 years old. This was not what he expected. He did not move. He had never been inside a Jewish home for dinner. He just stood there silently. The food smelled good. He hadn't eaten all day, and he was hungry. She motioned for him to come in the house. He stepped inside, not saying a word, took off his coat, put his bayonet by the door, and sat down to eat at Rachel Riva's table. Rachel Riva stacked a plateful of latkes in front of him. The Cossack looked at the glowing faces of the family one by one. White beard, side locks, little girl braids, little boy rosy cheeks.
"Eat, my son, my kinder, eat."
He ate.
And sipped tea. And ate. And sipped more tea.
When his plate was empty, Rachel Riva piled on more latkes and demanded, "Eat, eat, again." Not until he couldn't lift his fork for another bite did she stop. When he finished, he slowly put back on his coat, picked up his bayonet, and smiled broadly as he placed his hand over his full belly. When he left, all he took with him was his bayonet. The two Hassel sons grew up to be tailors, like their papa, and the two daughters emigrated to America. The youngest, Ida, became my grandmother. She never forgot that Hanukkah in the shtetl and the courage of her mother, Rachel Riva. She passed on the story and Rachel Riva's recipe for latkes to her daughter, my mother, who passed them both on to me. Now I have two daughters of my own. They love to eat potato latkes, and although they are young, they already know the story of their great-great-grandmother, who is my heroine.
"She was quite a mom," said one daughter. "Very brave," said another.
"She was such an incredible mom," I add, "that she saved her own children by seeing that an enemy soldier is also another mother's hungry boy." As I pass her legacy on to you, perhaps you too will find in the Hanukkah lights the flame of hope to light up even the darkest of nights.